Swing and a ground ball right side. It's under the glove of Edman. It's in the right. The game is tied. Here comes Castellanos. He'll score. And the Phillies lead it in the ninth. Gene Segura has come through, and the Phillies have scored three times to take the lead on the Cardinals.
Oh, what a moment, what a moment, what a day, what a time, what an amazing afternoon, what a great time to be a Philadelphia sports fan. Good morning, everybody. I'm Glenn Mack now with my pal, Jody Mack. Jody, how are you today?
I'd say pretty good, Mr. Mack. Now,
yes,
pretty good estimate. Is well in Philadelphia, at least for today.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, it is. By the way, Jody is in. Mike Sielski, who's normally in that spot on Saturday, is flying to Phoenix for tomorrow's Eagles-Cardinals game. So I am delighted that Jody can be here with me today to celebrate a surprising win by the Phillies yesterday, who beat the hated St. Louis Cardinals 6-3. Epic comeback. They lead the series 1-0. They can win and advance tonight with Aaron Nola on the mound. I think it's with 8:30 start, something like that, right, Jody?
27, so okay, thereabouts.
There you go. All right, I want to go through this piece by piece yesterday, if we may. I'll kind of set it up and you knock it out of the park. So first, Wheeler was great. By the way, had never been to the playoffs. Went 6 2/3 without allowing a run. Seventh inning allows a leadoff hit to, I love the names of these guys, Lars Nootbaar. No, I'm sorry. That was in the first. He allowed the hit to Lars Nootbaar. Then he retired 15 of the next 16 hitters. Excuse me. Then he goes into the seventh inning, starts off well, and the manager decides to pull him at 96, 94 pitches. Did you have any issue at the moment with 96 pitches, by the way? First time he had thrown that in a long time. Did you have any issue at the moment at that time, Jody, with Rob Thompson?
Without being able to talk to Wheeler himself, he had not gotten up to 100 pitches in his two rehab starts, after rehab starts, which both were basically phenomenal, but limited, and they watched to make sure that there was no fallback, so he could be available for game number one. So I thought it would be close to 100 pitches, and he was at close to 100 pitches. So without hearing it directly from Wheeler, I can't find any fault with the way Rob Thompson handled it.
Yeah, and I'm of the same mind. He got in a little bit of trouble in the sixth. He allowed the two base runners, and then Albert Pujols hit into the double play. By the way, I think Pujols still on his way to first base.
You and I were texting at that time, and I was predicting a triple play, a line shot down to third base, because Albert is as slow as he is. And God bless Albert Pujols. He's the kind of guy that you can root for. Sorry, Albert, we can't root for you this week, but a phenomenal career, and so glad he got the 700 home runs. Oh, I was rooting for a laser one hopper to third to go 5-4-3 triple play at the time.
Yeah, well, it didn't happen, but gosh, he really
got a double play. The next best thing. Yeah, they didn't get three, but they got two.
Yes. Oh, and by the way, nice defense by Alec Bohm in that inning and during the game. The corner butcher, as Ray named him, did his job at third base. Yes, it was good to
see. Absolutely.
All right, so Alvarado comes in, and Alvarado, he'd been great. Had not allowed a home run since July, had not allowed a run since August 23rd. Jody, he walks the first batter, and you know what that means?
Yikes. Who the heck is Jose Yepez? And we've seen this smack, and I know we've got a giveaway today. We're going to kind of tie into this, but the unknown hero that comes up big in the postseason, I had, yes, heard this guy's name before. I couldn't give you a detailed scouting report on him. I know he's a bat off the bench for the Cardinals, but, man, did he time that pitch up perfectly.
Yeah, he sure did. It's still moving. Anyway, so a 0-0 game turns into 2-0, and it's a problem because nobody's hitting for the Phillies. Actually, let me backtrack for a moment. St. Louis manager Oliver Marmol, and imagine we're doing this show today in St. Louis, Jody. You know what we're talking about. He pulls the starter, Jose Quintana, in the sixth, 5 1/3 scoreless innings, just 75 pitches. Really did the Phillies a favor.
He did, but in the same vein of Wheeler, that's what Quintana has been for them. all year long. He's not coming off an injury the way that Wheeler was, but that's the way they've been using him and using him almost to perfection. The guy had been phenomenal, but that's what he is. He's a five-plus inning pitcher, and they thought that he was right at his limit at five and change. There weren't a lot of strikeouts in the game. Yes, there was a lot of soft contact, but that's a Quintana game. So I'm not going to sit here and second-guess their manager either, because I think he's got as good a grasp. Quintana's been around for a decade, and he's a junk ball and lefty, and he's been an average pitcher at best. When he's good, he's average. When he's bad, he's why the hell is he in a rotation? And they acquire him, and he was phenomenal for them down the stretch.
He was.
So how do I sit now, sit here, and go, oh, my God, the manager screwed him up?
Okay. That's fine then. I was not aware that 75 pitches is kind of his norm, but hey, if it is, great, because this really worked out for the Phillies. We go into the eighth inning. The Phillies bats are doing nothing. Well, they have three hits in the first eight innings. Giovanni Gallegos is pitching well in relief. The manager pulls him to go to Ryan Helsley for a five-out save. Which again I thought was early, but if that's the way he manages his pitching staff normally, fine. Helsley gets through the eighth. We go to the ninth. Rhys Hoskins strikes out swinging. By the way, two pitches way out of the strike zone. He's chasing. Yeah. It appears Helsley cannot throw a strike. So, Jody Mack watching in his living room.
Basement.
We are now in, I'm sorry, which room?
The man cave downstairs.
Man cave, fine. That's cool.
With my daughter in tow, she and I watched the game together, which is great.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yes.
That's, you know, you and your daughter haven't gotten to watch a Phillies playoff game since she was, what, a teenager?
Since Brad Lidge threw his glove up in the air and hugged Chuch Ruiz, as a matter of fact.
Okay. So, Helsley, I mean, you can see, even with Hoskins, he can't throw a strike, but there's one out in the ninth. The Phillies have nothing going. How are you feeling then?
Not optimistic, being 100% honest. I'm looking for friends. I didn't leave the room. I didn't go outside, grab a smoke. No, I hung tough and had belief, but would I have got into my pocket to make a wager on a game at that point? Absolutely not.
Right. There's really not much basis to think anything is going to happen. And then, Jody Mack, JTL Realmuto, lines a single to left field. Not exactly a hard hit ball, but it gets there. Helsley's got to go to the stretch. Helsley can't throw a strike at all. Bryce Harper walks. Are you thinking at this point Helsley's just falling apart? Because I am.
I apologize to any of you Michael Kay and A-Rod fans out there. Of which in the Delaware Valley there may be two. It was a really tough listen. A-Rod is just terrible.
Awful.
Michael Kay's a professional announcer, but he's so tied to the Yankees you can't move away from it. But they were, I'll give him this nod, talking about the fact that Helsley got hurt the last week of the season, took a bad step, fell on his hand, and was having some issues with one of his fingers. And, yeah, that's what I was hanging my hopes on, that this guy isn't 100% because he was an all-star closer this year. The guy was stone-cold dominant.
Oh, numbers are great.
Yeah, off the charts great. So, to their credit, and I should have known this, and I didn't know it until I heard it on the broadcast, that he wasn't quite 100%. I'm hoping, man, I hope that finger's bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, something's going on because he cannot throw a strike. Then he walks Nick Castellanos, almost hits him in the head twice. And the manager leaves him in, and they don't have anybody warming up. Again, I'm not a St. Louis Cardinals fan. I don't know this guy Marmol, but if I were, I would have a lot of questions. Then comes Alec Bohm, pegs him in the shoulder. And at that point, because I want to talk what Rob Thompson did, he made an interesting decision, Jody. You're still down 2-0. You got bases loaded. So your winning run is on first base. Is it 2-0? It's 2-0.
Still 2-0.
Yeah. And he puts in Sosa to pinch run for Alec Bohm, which didn't even occur to me, but he did. Your thoughts?
Here's the surprising part. Usually you do that for the tying run.
Yes.
And you decided by what runner needs to be most upgraded with speed. And you weren't about to pull Bryce Harper out of the game, and he was the tying run. So, you need to factor that in. I was surprised. I didn't think it was a bad move. I was more along the lines of, damn, I hadn't thought of that. Good job, Rob.
Exactly.
Sosa is faster, and oh, by the way, even though Bohm had played well defensively prior to in the game, Sosa's a borderline gold glove guy. He's that good, so it's twofold. If you tie it up, you are upgrading your defense, or even if you take the lead by one run, you're upgrading your defense for the bottom of the ninth, and man, did that come back to pay off.
Oh, it really comes back to pay off because the next hitter, at that point, finally, the St. Louis manager goes out and pulls Helsley for this injury, which I don't know if they were stalling. I don't know if they were playing it up. But it did appear that one of the incentives was to allow his relievers a lot of time to warm up because he waited so long to get him up in a bullpen.
Right. And I saw a lot on Twitter afterwards. Oh, my God, this is just such a farce. And this is them stalling and giving a... If it's true, that's part of baseball. And if the guy had no injury whatsoever and this was just made up out of whole cloth, then I'd have a problem with it. The umpire is being duped a little bit here, that they're doing this for a specific reason. Oh, no, thank you very much for that bad finger, because one of the best closers in baseball couldn't come close to throwing a strike. Would you rather him be healthy and the Cardinals have to play by the rules? I picked up on a lot of the complaining and whining that the Cardinals were doing it with a dual purpose. I had no issues with it, none whatsoever. And if the guy couldn't throw strikes because of his bad finger and they took a little extra time to get their bullpen guy ready because of it, thank you very much for doing just that.
Yeah, it was gamesmanship, but as you said, that's part of the game is gamesmanship. So that's fine, and it also suggests that, you know, tonight he threw a lot yesterday. Tonight, I don't know that we're going to see Helsley again, which is nice. It's good.
All of a sudden, they don't have their shutdown closer in a must-win next two games or you're done.
Uh-huh.
Sorry about the bad finger, Mr. Helsley.
So, they put in new reliever Andre Pallante.
Pallante, yeah.
He's got a 5.91 ERA since September 1st. Thank you very much. They had Flaherty out there warming up, who I just thought would have been a better choice, but okay. All right, then. Up, Jody. Let us set up the moment of the game. Gene Segura, good clutch hitter, comes up. As they noted 18,000 times in the broadcast, he'd have the largest active career in Major League Baseball without being in the playoffs. Here comes the pitch. Here comes the moment.
Swing and a ground ball right side. It's under the glove of Edmund. It's in the right. The game is tied. Here comes Castellanos. He'll score. And the Phillies lead it in the ninth. Gene Segura has come through. And the Phillies have scored three times to take the lead on the Cardinals.
Just a beautiful moment. And again, he chased a pitch that was low and away, pokes it into right field, past the second baseman, who maybe should have had it, but didn't. And it was a bleeder, Jody, call it what you want. It did the job. You're feeling it that time.
Seeing eye is what I would
there
call
you go.
It.
That's a good one.
Base hit. Just a great piece of hitting by Gene, and that's the kind of player that he is. He puts the ball in play when he needs to put the ball in play. This Phillies lineup has a whole bunch of strikeouts, and Gene Segura is not one of them. So you had the guy at the plate that you wanted there probably as much as anyone else in the lineup, and he delivered big time. And the fact that he was, prior to the start of the game, the player with the most games played active in their career without ever having been in a playoff game, over 1,300, and he delivers, was just huge.
It was great. It was a brilliant moment, and it's, you know, they put up before the inning that the Cardinals, when they were leading in the ninth inning in their history in postseason, we're going back to Frankie Frisch and Joe Medwin, right? I mean, we're going back to that.
Rabbit Maronville?
Maronville, yes.
Maronville?
Yes, we are going back to Dizzy Dean.
Yeah.
They were 93-0 when they were leading in the ninth inning of the playoffs, and that was a pretty auspicious number, and all of a sudden, here we go. Up comes Bryson Stott. We talked about Edmundo Sosa coming in to pitch run for Bohm. It pays off. Do you have? Do we have the sound back at the studio for this one? Yeah, let's play it. This is Bryson Stott comes up.
1-2 on Bryson. Pallante ready. Here's the pitch. Swing at a ground ball. Diving, Goldschmidt's got it. Coming home, the throw, it's late.
Yes.
Soso with a head first slide. He has scored. And another run is home. Edmundo Sosa just in under the tag of Molina. And it's 4-2 Phillies in the ninth.
Pretty damn good, Jody.
Great call,
and it was we talked about the call by Thompson to bring in the pinch runner. Bohm's not scoring on that.
Probably not. The upgrade in speed is marginal, but because it was so close, marginal is the difference.
Yeah.
It might have been a bang-bang play by a couple inches either way. Well, he scores by a couple inches. Chances are Bohm's out by a couple inches. The difference between out and safe is all the difference in the world. So, again, all the credit to Rob Thompson for thinking as far ahead as he did. Glenn, this is the portion where I probably annoy every single
Phillies. What? Yeah. What?
The Phillies showed grit. They showed toughness. They did it a way that they haven't done all year. You know, one foolish talk show host deemed them the Broad Street Boomsticks before the year started.
Right.
That the only way they were going to win was by hitting home runs and getting good pitching. Well, they got very good pitching. But no home runs whatsoever, and they just created six runs in the ninth inning, as I pointed out on Twitter. Not one ball was hit hard.
Oh,
the entire inning. Not one.
No.
Over.
I'm not going to argue
hard hit balls.
But here's the thing. You're absolutely correct, and their sluggers are not doing what you pay them to do typically, right? Harper's hit three home runs since he's come back. That's
right.
Not exactly... You know, that's the same. Maton's hit three home runs in that period of time. Castellanos is not hitting home runs. Well, Schwarber certainly has been, but you know, not yesterday. But what this shows, and I'll read a Larry Boa tweet from yesterday to address your point. Good things happen when you put the ball in play. Yes, the highest exit velocity in the ninth with 88 miles per hour. But six runs later, the win case closed. They didn't swing from the heels. They tried a suicide squeeze. They worked walks. Bohm stood in there and took a 101-mile fastball off the shoulder. I'll win in small ball. I'm okay with that. Yeah, they didn't win the way you think they should win. But if they can win, playing smart, playing small, getting lucky, they definitely got lucky. The last hit is the Brandon Marsh, you know, single past Gold Glove third baseman that I think we all agree was an error. But, hey, I'll take it.
That's where I was going. And leave it to Larry Boa to go all analytics with 88-mile-an-hour exit velo off the bat. I just said they didn't hit the ball hard out of any there at bats in the ninth inning. Boa giving us analytical research to make the same point. I appreciate that. Here's the point I was going to make.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
The ball that Gene Segura hit?
Yeah.
At least should have been knocked down if not caught.
Yep.
Edmonds can make that play.
Yep.
Goldschmidt, ground ball to first base. Yeah, he had to dive to get it, but he's up and he hitched. There was a momentary pause in his throw, and it is a partial second late, and he gets in under the tag. And as you noted, Nolan Arenado's a Gold Glove third baseman, and Marsh's ball goes blatantly under his glove. So they had a little help. The Phillies had a little help from their friends yesterday. The Cardinals played some putrid defense in the ninth inning, which helped the Phillies put that six run up. I know it's kind of raining on the parade. I don't want to. And they get all the credit in the world for hanging in and being as tough as they were. The Cardinals kind of handed some.
But I think that's okay because we've seen our team self-destruct.
That's true.
To see the other team self-destruct, particularly that team. And it gets me to one more soundbite I want to play. We all have teams we dislike, and for me, it's always been the Cardinals. I have found them annoying forever. The gloating, the Cardinals way, they invented baseball heaven, you know, that all that stuff. Hate it. So, when it got to be 5-2, I want to play a little Scott Fransky for you.
And the pitch. Swing and a ground ball, left side, Arenado has it go under his glove. Segura coming around third. The throw is not in time. Arenado couldn't get to it. He backed up on the play, and the bouncer by Brandon Marsh makes it 5-2, Phillies. And what a ninth inning at Busch Stadium.
Unbelievable. How much have we talked about, or even Thompson talked about throughout this year, how resilient this ball club is when their backs are to the wall. Arenado, you just don't see him not make that play.
And Cardinal fans are leaving. They are headed for the exit.
Wow. That was my favorite moment of the day.
And they did. They showed it on TV. And it wasn't just like two or three guys trying to beat the traffic.
Yep.
There were good numbers rolling into the exits. That was just stone cold week. It's a playoff game.
Yep.
This is not a night where you got to get up for work the next day. It's a late afternoon game where you, on a Friday, no less. Where the hell are you going? How do you get up and leave?
It was great. It was great. To your point, we Philly fans have seen a lot of late inning losses this year. Oh God, last year, over the years, just have the other team do it. You're correct. I don't think you're raining on a parade to say that they got help from the Cardinals, but it was great to see. Of course, as they say, momentum in baseball is as good as your next starting pitcher. Today, Jody, it is
Suarez. Tell me it's Ranger Suarez.
Go ahead. This is your last chance, I guess, to
come
make
on,
that plea.
Topper, please. I'm not sure he's listening on the Odyssey.com app right now, but if he is, I've been selling this song for 7 weeks, Glenn.
Yep.
And 19 out of every 20 people that I run this by, ranging from major baseball executive and experts and top media guys to our Philly fans here on WIP and my co-hosts like Glenn Macnow, everybody has poo-pooed this and said, you can't do that. No, you wouldn't do that. Why would you even think about doing that? I stand by my thought process. You put Ranger Suarez out there today. Maybe he pitches lights out. You find a way to win the game. And then all of a sudden, you've got Aaron Nola to start the next series against the Atlanta Braves, which is going to be very difficult. If Ranger gets beat, you've got Aaron Nola, one of your two aces coming back against the Cardinals' third-best starter at best in game number three. I've been suggesting this for upwards of 7 weeks, and no one is listening to me, and we'll see. I'm not rooting for Aaron Nola to go out there and pitch poorly and go, see, I told you they should have started. No, I want Aaron Nola to do exactly what Wheeler did yesterday and mowed the Cardinals down for seven innings. But I just thought outside the box might be a way to go here, but it doesn't seem like that's the direction the Phillies are going.
Jody, your point is well taken, and I disagree.
That's okay.
And we'll never know.
Right.
We'll never know. But it's a fascinating theory, and you brought it right up to the end, and I appreciate that you stuck with it. Yes, tonight it's Aaron Nola versus Mikolas. We shall see. The Phillies actually a slight favorite, but that doesn't really mean much because we will see how it plays out. Hey, we got that. We have a huge Eagles game tomorrow against the other Cardinals, the Arizona Cardinals. Coming up in the show, we are going to talk to Seth Joyner. We are going to talk to Ben Davis. We are going to talk about a TV movie. You and I both watch it. I have no idea how you feel about it, but we will review that one later for what we're watching. And we will talk to you at 215-592-9494. 215-592-9494. It's a great day in Philadelphia. He's Jody Mack. I'm glad. Well, we are certainly going to bring those Eagles into the conversation very soon. Celebrating a Phillies win yesterday over the Cardinals in game one of the wild card round of the playoffs. Seth Joyner will join us at 11, as we said, and Ben Davis at noon. We'll get to the calls in a moment. 215-592-9494. He's Jody McDonald. I'm Glenn Mack. Now it's time for This Week in Philadelphia Sports History, brought to you by Shy Vintage Sports, where there's a story in every stitch. Visit their new location at Wayne and Lancaster Avenues in downtown Wayne, or at shibesports.com. Jody, I take you back to October 1993. You were doing middays at WIP. I was still with the Inquirer. Soon to join you.
One of the highlights of my life, the 1993. First, the Phillies make it to the World Series, and then I get Glenn Macnow as my partner. I'd say the end of the 93 year was a good one for me. Thank you.
Yeah, and just a little bit of an aside. I remember as soon as I joined you, we had a program director, Tom Bigby, who said, don't talk baseball.
Yeah, they just went to the World Series.
Don't, yes.
Why are you bringing baseball up?
All right, so here we go. Game one of the NLCS, the Phillies against the Atlanta Braves. And not early, they bring in Kim Batiste as a defensive replacement. He makes an error. They're going to lose. Oh, no. But then he comes up in the game with men on base. Let's give it to the great Harry Callis.
Belliard, the second baseman, is closer than the shortstop. Bowser's way over there in the hole on Batiste.
Ball and two strikes. Here's the stretch. The 1-2 pitch. Swing, a hard ground ball. Base hit! Base hit! Down the left field line! Druck scores! Bills win! 4-3! And the RBI hit by Kim Batiste! This place is going wild! Batiste, who made an error in the ninth inning that led to the tie, has picked up a hit down the left field line. Druck scored and the Phillies win 4-3 in 10 in game one of the league championship series.
It just makes you smile. Hearing the voice, and by the way, it's Harry and Whitey, of course. Just hearing those guys makes you smile. Even the way Kim Batiste, everybody did there, Harry. And Jody, that was 93. Right up until Joe Carter was just one of those magical years.
I was going to say, didn't end the way it was supposed to end.
No.
Like yesterday's game ended the way it was supposed to end, but that season didn't. But that was a tremendous run because no one saw the Phillies coming that year, Macho Rowe and everything else. And up until Joe Carter, you're right, it was just such a fun year. And a quick Kim Batiste aside. My wife and I were just married a year and change, I think, as a matter of fact, and went to all the playoff games, got tickets, and if I used my press pass, then my wife sat with her friend, and if not, my wife and I sat together for that entire playoff run. And after every game we would go to, and you're going to help me out here because my memory isn't what it used to be, the old Holiday Inn.
Yeah.
I think it was a Holiday Inn that was
Jaworski's
right there on the
place,
corner.
Right?
Jaworski's, yeah. I can't remember the name of the bar. But
yeah,
they had
I can't either. But it was everything was green in it. I remember the bar.
Right, and it was more Eagles themed. But for that Phillies run, certainly after every single game, you walk in the joint and all you can see is red with the naked eye.
Yes,
and we would go there after every single game and have a cocktail or two, win or lose. And Kim Batiste used to stay in the hotel. I think he lived in the hotel all year, as a matter of fact.
Fregosi did, too.
So every once in a while after wins, usually after wins, after losses, you couldn't find Kim or anybody else as far as the players go because they were not a happy bunch. But after a win, they would come down. You'd see him in there. You go over, you buy him a beer, whatever else, give him a high five. And Kim Batiste was one of those guys who was there often during that playoff run all the way to the World Series, first against the Braves, then against the Blue Jays in the World Series. And he was one of my wife's favorite players. She just loved Kim Batiste because he was one of those underdog-type guys that you wanted to root for. And I remember buying Kim Batiste a couple of beers during that playoff
run.
There you go.
Nice. I like that.
Well, what the hell was the name of that bar? What did Jaws call that place? Was it the Eagle's Nest?
It's probably something like that. I don't remember, but somebody will remember.
We went in all the time, and Kim Batiste was hanging out and partying with the Phillies fans after those postseason wins.
So I play that for two reasons. I play it because, one, the scrappy underdog story, which, you know, they went on that magical run, and maybe we get that again this year with a team. They put out the odds the other day out of Vegas, and the Phillies had the longest odds of anybody to get to the World, to win the World Series. Okay, here we go. But the second is because it brings up our theme for what is our giveaway today for Scheib Vintage Sports. $50 gift card somebody is going to get. And based on Kim Batiste, the unlikely hero, Jody's wife's favorite player. By the way, the winner does not have to be a favorite of Jody McDonald, of Carol McDonald, but, you know, wouldn't hurt.
Exactly.
Give us an unlikely Philly sports hero, typically playoffs, postseason, somebody who was that player who was not a star, maybe not even a starter, who rose up and had a great moment for a Philadelphia team. and became a hero. And by the way, we agree, we're taking Nick Foles out of this right away, right? Because that's the obvious answer.
Right. If you put him in, then the conversation is over. So
yeah.
Remove Nick from consideration. No disrespect, Nick. Yes, still drink for free here in Philadelphia for the rest of your life. But for today's conversation, yes, Nick Foles, not to be included.
All right. Do you want to throw one in or you want to leave it to the listeners?
Yeah, I think there's a good number of them, but I don't want to take any away from the potential listeners. I've got one specific that I was thinking of. I told you about it before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
don't want to take it off the board for the peeps.
All right. Kyle Quinn, by the way, Jody, is the he's the sides.
Oh, it's always on Kyle Quinn.
Yes.
It can't be Moshe anymore, so it's got to be Kyle Quinn.
Right. We don't want anybody to get mad at us. So somebody wins a $50 gift card to Shive Vintage Sports. Check out their throwback apparel. They're sent to the location or shivesports.com. Let's talk to Rob in Philly.
Jody, Rob Thompson. And Matt Jody, I'm here, South Dakota Sam.
Oh, it's South Dakota Sam here.
I'm over the moon. Max.
Wait, your name is Sam or your name is Rob?
My real name is Richard, but he's South Dakota. I spent some time in South Dakota when I met Jody. He said, what the hell are you doing in South Dakota? What are they?
Okay.
Anyway, there was a key at bat. Jody knows I'm a real baseball purist. I'm in my 70s. I know. I go back to the 50s when the Phillies were. There was a real key moment to you guys, if you can point out, in the ninth inning. After Hoskins left the inning with a strikeout, right?
Mm-hmm.
What you call got a bloop single in there, you know, Realmuto.
Yeah.
The key at bat, because I always have that thing, they try to get two outs of them, the Phillies are ahead without the time, was I think Harper working a 1-2 count into a walk. I don't know if you recall that. He was down 1-2, but he didn't swing any bad, but he took one borderline pitch. That was the key at bat. Because if he strikes out, it's two outs of 1-1. You know, I always have a rule of thumb.
I think that's a good point.
Good point. Yeah, I have a rule of thumb, Sky, and I always have, when the Phillies are lead, I like to get two outs before the time runs at the plate, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really over the moon at that win last night. It was at the best of three series. The first game so important, you know. And I'm kind of with you, Glenn. I won Nola to go today. I'm sorry, Jody.
Yeah, I just want to put the nail in the coffin if you can.
That's good.
Do you have somebody, Rob, who who you got?
Yes, and Jody knows I go way back. Jody, 1993, the Phillies won that, you know, the division, right? In
yes.
May of that year. We had a big win over the Cardinals. They had their big Lee Smith and Mariano Duncan. It's a grand slam, a pinch grand slam. Remember
I was
that
at
one?
That game. It was Mother's Day, I think.
Yes, exactly.
I was at that game. I dragged, thank you, Rob. I dragged my wife and kids to that game. Well, dragged, I mean, mostly I wanted to go. My wife's like, yeah, sure, Mother's Day at the ballpark
fine,
for 4 hours. Yeah, why not? And they were losing, and Duncan hit that. But Duncan was a good player. I wouldn't call him an unlikely hero.
Right. He was a Stone Cold platoon player. He and Mickey Morandini at second base. That's mm-hmm. what made that 93 team as good as it was in large part because they had a great platoon at a couple of different positions, both outfield spots, right and left, and second base. So, and Fregosi pushed all the right buttons. Duncan was he wasn't an everyday player, but I wouldn't call him a super sub either, so I don't know if he fits the criteria we're looking for.
Let's talk to Nick in Collegeville. You're on with Jody Mack and Glenn Mack now. Hi, Nick.
Gentlemen, how are you guys doing?
Hey.
Good. So I called right before you guys started talking about the Hosley pitcher replacement. Because I was wondering the same thing. Did the manager
up
long enough? Yeah.
Nick, we lost you for a second. Say what you said again. We got you.
I'm gonna disconnect myself from my Wi-Fi just in case that's doing something. So I wasn't sure if the manager's thinking I need my warm up my pitches to warm up more and throw more pitches. So let's go out there under the label or guise of it's an injury. We want to look at it, and then they had him throw a couple more pitches to buy the warming up pitchers more time, and then they went, oh no, we need a pitching change.
Yeah.
And then the pitching. So, but listen, that's sportsmanship. That's unfortunately, we won the game, and we don't have to cry and bitch and moan.
Except that's exactly what you're doing.
Okay, so I'm going to move on. It was a great win. I brought it up because it entered my mind. That's all. Right.
You wanted you had a little Eagles point.
Yeah, this is a pivotal game. This is an inflection point. I think this is the Carolina game of 2017 when we went out there on a Thursday night and we beat them down with a healthy Cam, and we realized, wow, this team is really good. And so we're going to find out tomorrow. They haven't won. They haven't fared well going to Arizona. It doesn't matter which team or coach has been with the Eagles or Arizona. They go out there and say dominant, just win the game convincingly and show that they are serious and they have that kind of talent, then I think we can kind of get on that 2017 bus again and go, all right, we should expect to win every, you know, you're not going to win every game, but you should
They're
expect
not going
to
win every game.
Right, but you should expect
You say it's a pivotal game. I don't say it's a pivotal game. Listen, I'll be really disappointed if they lose and if they get blown out or if, you know, terrible things happen, you reassess, but
I don't want
to say it's a trap game before Dallas, but maybe it is. I don't know.
It could be. I don't want to say it's pivotal, like, oh, if we don't make – it's not like late in the season. If you don't win this game, right, you might not make the playoffs. I'm saying pivotal as in have a better understanding if this team is
okay,
a serious contender or if this team is still top five NFC and maybe we get lucky.
Can they put their thumb down on their foot on their neck and win it? Who's your unlikely hero?
So, I mean, so Moshe's younger than me. Younger than you guys.
Actually, it's Kyle today, but go ahead.
Oh, it's Kyle. Okay, well, still, they're in the same
age. He's younger than Moshe, so.
So, I mean, there's one out in Dodger Stadium. There's another one I want to name that would be, the last.
Nick,
you've
got to get to it. Come on, man.
I'm going Nick Foles, man. If you told me.
No, we took Nick off the board. You got to listen. We took Nick off the board. Jody, two people, including our friend Dave Breitmeyer, have texted that they believe that bar at the Holiday Inn in those days was Benny the Bums. Could that be right?
No, not when Jaworski owned it.
No, I got the name of it, actually, guys.
Oh, what do you got?
It was called Legends.
Yes!
Yes, that was. Yes, it was. There you go.
Yes, that's exactly what it was. Now, I believe the bar was known as Benny the Bums before Jaws bought the hotel. And when he took over, he made it a sports-themed bar and changed the name of it.
Yes.
So those who texted in are correct. Benny the Bums was there in that spot at that location, but not when we're referring to it in 1993. Jaworski had taken over by that point and named it Legends. That's correct.
Nicely done. All right. 215-592-9494. Jody McDowell and Glenn McDowell. Coming up at the top of the hour, Seth Joyner will be with us. We are looking forward to talking to Seth. With Jody McDonald, I'm Glenn Mack now. Mike Sielski traveling to Arizona for the game tomorrow. And we really haven't talked about football. I'm trying to balance the two things here, Jody. We will talk to Seth Joyner at 11, so we'll get a lot there. Do you have concerns about a trap game, a look-over game here?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, I didn't like how quickly you answered that.
Yeah. So far this year, Glenn, I have picked the Eagles to win all four of their games. They have. I've picked the Eagles to cover all four of their games. They've covered three out of four. I'm seriously concerned about tomorrow's game.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah. There's a couple of things in this game, in this matchup, that I have concerns about. Maybe the biggest of which is the quarterback of the opposition. And I know the Eagles' defense plays against Jalen Hurts day in and day out at practice, but really, what is practice for the Eagles these days? We don't really even know. All we know is that guys get rest and that they have underused the amount of time that they're allowed to use as per the collective bargaining agreement. So I don't know how much playing against Jalen Hurts in practice preps them for a guy like Kyler Murray, because let's be honest, so far this year, the Eagles have played basically four statues as the opposing quarterback. Certainly Goff is, Cousins is, Carson has become one.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Oh, my God, did they make him look like a statue with the 8-sack game 2 weeks ago? And then last week, Trevor Lawrence, probably the most athletic guy they faced, anytime he tried to make a play with his legs, the Eagles were either swatting the ball out of his hands and coming up with fumble recoveries, or he was self-destructing. Maybe the biggest play of the game last week was him on the sprint out, untouched, just drops the football. So Kyler Murray and his ability to make plays with his legs is something that the Eagles haven't faced yet. Now, they may face it and be tremendous in it. They're an athletic team, so I think they'll be okay. They're getting great pressure up the middle, but sometimes if you bring it and you don't get him, all of a sudden the entire field is open. Yeah, I'm a little scared of Kyler Murray.
Interesting. All right. Well, we'll get into that more. We'll certainly talk about that with Seth, but that's It's not what I wanted to hear.
Sorry. Got to call him the way we see him, right, Mac Man?
That's why I respect you so much, Jody Mac. Let's talk to Chris in Clinton. You're on with Jody and Glenn.
Hey, Glenn. Hey, Jody. How are you guys doing this morning?
All right.
Jody, the one thing with Kyler tomorrow, I think I'm looking for Kaiser White to just spy him all game. I think that's what they're going to play tomorrow, but we'll see.
As do I. Just give me a quick second to respond here. The Cardinals have two very good over-the-middle players, one of which we know quite well is named Zach Ertz, and the other one is Rondell Moore, their inside receiver, who's just coming back from injury. Last week was his first game of the year, but he's a really good middle receiver who, if you're going to use White specifically to spy on Kyler Murray, I think those two other guys in the middle of the field, and Murray can throw it between the hash marks, could have big days if you're relying solely on Chauncey Gardner-Johnson to cover those two guys.
Well, that's fair. No, it's definitely their biggest test of the year, I would say, in terms of the opposing, you know, the opposing quarterback. But anyway, I mean, I'm way more excited about the Phillies today. I mean, it's just so exciting to have been, you know, when Segura got that hit, and you know, I hadn't been that excited about a baseball game in 12 years.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, one thing I wanted to bring up, actually, this is the second time this year the Phillies will be facing the Cardinals in St. Louis with Aaron Nola on the mound and with Mikolas on the mound for the Cardinals. They faced the Cardinals, I have it up, July 11th earlier this year. Hoskins on a homer off of Mikolas earlier on, but they ended up losing that game 6-1. So I just thought that was an interesting thing to bring up. I know that I don't want to rain on the parade, but
you got Nola's line for that day.
Well, that
what was Nola's line that
very day? Well, no, he gave up a three-run. I think he gave a three-run home run to Corey Dickerson late in the game. So he went into the seventh. Funny enough, Edmundo Sosa had a RBI double off of Aaron Nola that day when he was still on the Cardinals.
That's it. Chris, you just flipped that the other way. Today he gets it off of Mikolas, so we're okay.
There we go. Yeah, exactly. And
who's your unlikely hero?
Yeah, so he led the Eagles in receiving the day of the Super Bowl, and that's Corey Clement.
Yeah. Clement, but yeah, that's a pretty good one. Corey Clement had a great Super Bowl that
year. Huge Super Bowl.
Nice guy, local guy. Yeah. Like, I always like Corey Clement. His dad comes to all the pregame shows that we do outside the stadium.
Really?
Yeah, everyone.
Very nice.
It was more fun when he played for the Eagles, but yeah. I suppose the Cowboys or the Giants or whatever team he's playing for now. This, of course, leads to the question of which Nola we get tonight. And he was so terrific in his last start. But with Nola, particularly this time of year, or really any Nola, you get, oh, man, just breeze through five innings, looking so good. Sixth inning, gives up a hit, gives up a walk. Well, you don't usually give up a walk, but, I mean, you know those three-run home runs are the killers. I have no way to predict what Nola shows up. I'm encouraged that he played much better this September than he has in previous Septembers. That's all I can go on.
Exactly. And this will once again be, you asked me earlier about the Cardinal manager and the moves that Rob Thompson made. When does the call to the bullpen come? Is he going to get six in? Is he going to get seven in? Where do you draw the line if you're Rob Thompson? And the other thing I'll say in defense of the Cardinal manager yesterday when he pulled Quintana as early as he did, it was nothing at the time. Every run was crucial. So if you saw anything, I think you needed to be ready to go to the bullpen. We'll see how Rob Thompson manages just that today with Aaron Nola.
John in Chalfont is with us. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Mm-hmm.
So just extremely excited about what we're seeing in the Phillies this playoff. With my family in front of the TV again after all these years, it was just great to see yesterday.
Yeah.
And experience that again and share that really, you know, with the kids as they're older. It's just a bucket of fun. And
how old are your kids?
Now they're like 18 and 19, but back in 2008 when we were winning, they were, you know, they were little guys, and I was just, you know, and they don't remember a whole lot. They just remember a little bit about the excitement of it, but
At their age, they're able to actually watch it and experience it.
Yep, and my kids are old enough that they remember the great Phillies run, right? And but I heard Rhea earlier this week. Rhea's got a 13-year-old, and this is the first time that she and her 13-year-old can share this joy. So
it's the best.
I get it for you, and it is really special when for kids that first pennant run or that first championship, you just never forget. So it's a great
exactly. Great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you're watching the screen, but you're also looking over at them and watching them just to experience it through their eyes. And it's just the best. It's so much fun. Every at bat was so important. It counted so much. Every pitch and Harper drawing that walk and Bum getting hit by the pitch as he did, and just everything added up to just that ninth inning was phenomenal.
Yes, yes, sir. So, do you have an unlikely hero for us?
So when you said that, I immediately went to the unassisted triple play by Mr. Eric Brundtland. And that was just that was a blast when you saw that go down.
Jody, I remembered Brundtland had a triple play. I don't remember the specific game.
Unassisted, yes.
Unassisted.
Which is a rare thing in baseball. The triple plays are rare things, but unassisted triple plays were rare, and that was the year of the World Series. Now, I texted you before and said I think it should be Eric Brundtland, but not because of the unassisted triple play. That was in season, which was huge. But then in the World Series itself, I believe it was game 3, he comes in, defensive replacement, sure enough, got to come to bat, gets on base, advances second, advances to third. They walk the bases full. And Chooch hits that little dribbler down the third base line, and he comes flying home and beats the throw to score the winning run. That was my Eric Brundtland thought. I agree with Eric
Brundtland.
That's
what I thought.
And he had a big play during the year, which was contributing to the entire run. But, yeah, I'll kind of lean toward a World Series major play rather than a regular season play. But if it's Eric Brundtland, I'm voting for Eric Brundtland.
As they say, right church, wrong pew. And, yeah, I remember that hit by Chooch. It was like a 45-foot game-winning RBI single. Just goes down in the box score as, like, game-winning hit.
Line drive. Could have been a laser off the bat on the box score the next day.
Oh, those were great days, man. Maybe we get some more of that. Coming up, we are looking forward to talking to our pal Seth Joyner about the Eagles and the Cardinals. Remember, Seth lives most of the time in Phoenix.
How are you guys doing?
Hey.
Good. So I called right before you guys started talking about the Helsley pitcher replacement. Because I was wondering the same thing. Did the manager long enough? Yeah.
Nick, we lost you for a second. Say what you said again. We got you.
I'm gonna disconnect myself from my Wi-Fi just in case that's doing something. So I wasn't sure if the manager's thinking I need my warm up, my pitches to warm up more and throw more pitches. So let's go out there under the label or guise of it's an injury. We want to look at it, and then they had him throw a couple more pitches to buy the warming up pitchers more time, and then they went, oh no, we need a pitching change.
Yeah.
And then the pitcher. So, but listen, that's sportsmanship. That's unfortunately, we won the game, and we don't have to cry and bitch and moan.
Except that's exactly what you're doing.
Okay, so I'm going to move on. it was a great win. I brought it up because it entered my mind. That's all. Right.
You want to? Yeah. You got a little Eagles point?
Yeah, this is a pivotal game. This is an inflection point. I think this is the Carolina game of 2017 when we went out there on a Thursday night and we beat them down with a healthy Cam, and we realized, wow, this team is really good. And so we're going to find out tomorrow. They haven't won. They haven't fared well going to Arizona. It doesn't matter which team or coach has been with the Eagles or Arizona. They go out there and say dominant, just win the game convincingly. And show that they are serious and they have that kind of talent, then I think we can kind of get on that 2017 bus again and go, all right, we should expect to win every, you know, you're not going to win every game, but you should
expect to be a favorite. They're not going to win every game.
Right, but you should expect to
You say it's a pivotal game. I don't say it's a pivotal game. Listen, I'll be really disappointed if they lose and if they get blown out or, you know, terrible things happen, you reassess, but
I don't want
to say it's a trap game before Dallas, but maybe it is. I don't know.
It could be. I don't want to say it's pivotal, like, oh, if we don't make – it's not like late in the season. If you don't win this game, right, you might not make the playoffs. I'm saying pivotal as in have a better understanding if this team is a serious contender or if this team is still – top five NFC, and maybe we get lucky.
Can they put their thumb down on their foot on their neck and win it? Who's your unlikely hero?
So, I mean, so Moshe's younger than me, younger than you guys.
Actually, it's Kyle today, but go ahead.
Oh, it's Kyle. Okay, well, still, they're in the same age.
He's younger than Moshe, so.
So, I mean, there's one out in Dodger Stadium. There's another one I want to name that would be, the last.
Nick,
we've
got to get to it. Come on, man.
I'm going Nick Foles, man. If you told me
no, we took Nick off the board. You got to listen. We took Nick off the board. Jody, two people, including our friend Dave Breitmeyer, have texted that they believe that bar at the Holiday Inn in those days was Benny the Bums. Could that be right?
No, not when Jaworski owned it.
No, I got the name of it, actually, guys.
What do you got?
It was called Legends.
Yes.
Yes, that was. Yes, it was. There you go.
Yes, that's exactly what it was. Now, I believe the bar was known as Benny the Bums before Jaws bought the hotel. And when he took over, he made it a sports-themed bar and changed the name of it.
Yes.
So those who texted in are correct. Benny the Bums was there in that spot at that location, but not when we're referring to it in 1993. Jaworski had taken over by that point and named it Legends. That's correct.
Nicely done. All right. 215-592-9494. Jody McDowell and Glenn McDowell. Coming up at the top of the hour, Seth Joyner will be with us. We are looking forward to talking to Seth. With Jody McDonald, I'm Glenn Mack now. Mike Sielski traveling to Arizona for the game tomorrow. And we really haven't talked about football. I'm trying to balance the two things here, Jody. We will talk to Seth Joyner at 11, so we'll get a lot there. Do you have concerns about a trap game, a look-over game here?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, I didn't like how quickly you answered that.
Yeah. So far this year, Glenn, I have picked the Eagles to win all four of their games. They have. I've picked the Eagles to cover all four of their games. They've covered three out of four. I'm seriously concerned about tomorrow's game.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah. There's a couple of things in this game, in this matchup, that I have concerns about. Maybe the biggest of which is the quarterback of the opposition. And I know the Eagles' defense plays against Jalen Hurts day in and day out at practice, but really, what is practice for the Eagles these days? We don't really even know. All we know is that guys get rest and that they have underused the amount of time that they're allowed to use as per the collective bargaining agreement. So I don't know how much playing against Jalen Hurts in practice preps them for a guy like Kyler Murray, because let's be honest, so far this year, the Eagles have played basically four statues as the opposing quarterback. Certainly Goff is, Cousins is, Carson has become one.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Oh, my God, did they make him look like a statue with the 8-sack game 2 weeks ago? And then last week, Trevor Lawrence, probably the most athletic guy they faced, anytime he tried to make a play with his legs, the Eagles were either swatting the ball out of his hands and coming up with fumble recoveries, or he was self-destructing. Maybe the biggest play of the game last week was him on the sprint out, untouched, just drops the football. So Kyler Murray and his ability to make plays with his legs is something that the Eagles haven't faced yet. Now, they may face it and be tremendous in it. They're an athletic team, so I think they'll be okay. They're getting great pressure up the middle, but sometimes if you bring it and you don't get him, all of a sudden the entire field is open. Yeah, I'm a little scared of Kyler Murray
tomorrow.
Interesting.
All right. Well, we'll get into that more. We'll certainly talk about that with Seth, but that's not what I wanted to hear.
Sorry. Got to call him the way we see him, right, Mac Man?
That's why I respect you so much, Jody Mac. Let's talk to Chris in Clinton. You're on with Jody and Glenn.
Hey, Glenn. Hey, Jody. How are you guys doing this morning?
All right.
Jody, the one thing with Kyler tomorrow, I think I'm looking for Kaiser White to just spy him all game. I think that's what they're going to play tomorrow, but we'll see.
As do I. Just give me a quick second to respond here. The Cardinals have two very good over-the-middle players, one of which we know quite well is named Zach Ertz, And the other one is Rondell Moore, their inside receiver, who's just coming back from injury. Last week was his first game of the year, but he's a really good middle receiver who, if you're going to use White specifically to spy on Kyler Murray, I think those two other guys in the middle of the field, and Murray can throw it between the hash marks, could have big days if you're relying solely on Chauncey Gardner-Johnson to cover those two guys.
Well, that's fair. No, it's definitely their biggest test of the year, I would say, in terms of the opposing, you know, the opposing quarterback. But anyway, I mean, I'm way more excited about the Phillies today. I mean, it's just so exciting to have been, you know, when Segura got that hit, and you know, I hadn't been that excited about a baseball game in 12 years.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, one thing I wanted to bring up, actually, this is the second time this year the Phillies will be facing the Cardinals in St. Louis with Aaron Nola on the mound and with Mikolas on the mound for the Cardinals. They face the Cardinals. They have it up July 11th earlier this year. Hoskins on a homer off of Mikolas earlier on, but they ended up losing that game 6-1. So I just thought that was an interesting thing to bring up. I know that I don't want to rain on the parade, but
you got Nola's line for that day.
Well, that was Nola's line that day. Very well. No, he gave about a three-run. I think he gave a three-run home run to Corey Dickerson late in the game. So he went into the seventh. Funny enough, Edmundo Sosa had a RBI double off of Aaron Nola that day when he was still on the Cardinals.
That's it. Chris, you just flipped that the other way. Today he gets it off of Mikolas, so we're okay.
There we go. Yeah, exactly.
And who's your unlikely hero?
Yeah, so he led the Eagles in receiving the day of the Super Bowl, and that's Corey Clement.
Yeah. Clement, but yeah, that's a pretty good one. Corey Clement had a great Super Bowl that
year. Huge Super Bowl.
Nice guy, local guy. Yeah. Like, I always like Corey Clement. His dad comes to all the pregame shows that we do outside
really?
The stadium. Yeah, everyone.
Very nice.
It was more fun when he played for the Eagles, but yeah. I suppose the Cowboys or the Giants or whatever team he's playing for now. This, of course, leads to the question of which Nola we get tonight. And he was so terrific in his last start. But with Nola, particularly this time of year, or really any Nola, you get, oh, man, just breeze through five innings, looking so good. Sixth inning, gives up a hit, gives up a walk. Well, you don't usually give up a walk, but, I mean, you know those three-run home runs are the killers. I have no way to predict what Nola shows up. I'm encouraged that he played much better this September than he has in previous Septembers. That's all I can go on.
Exactly. And this will once again be, you asked me earlier about the Cardinal manager and the moves that Rob Thompson made. When does the call to the bullpen come? Is he going to get six in? Is he going to get seven in? Where do you draw the line if you're Rob Thompson? And the other thing I'll say in defense of the Cardinal manager yesterday when he pulled Quintana as early as he did, it was nothing at the time. Every run was crucial. So if you saw anything, I think you needed to be ready to go to the bullpen. We'll see how Rob Thompson manages just that today with Aaron Nola.
John in Chalfont is with us. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Mm-hmm.
So just extremely excited about what we're seeing in the Phillies this playoff. With my family in front of the TV again after all these years, it was just great to see yesterday.
Yeah.
And experience that again and share that really, you know, with the kids as they're older. It's just a bucket of fun. And
how old are
every
your kids?
Single, well, now they're like 18 and 19, but back in 2008 when we were winning, they were, you know, they were little guys and I was just, you know, and they don't remember a whole lot. They just remember a little bit about the excitement of it, but
I think that
at their age, they're able to actually watch it and experience it.
Yep, and my kids are old enough that they remember the great Phillies run, right? And but I heard Rhea earlier this week. Rhea's got a 13-year-old, and this is the first time that she and her 13-year-old can share this joy. So
it's the best.
I get it for you, and it is really special. When for kids, that first pennant run or that first championship, you just never forget. So it's a great.
Yeah, exactly. Great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you're watching the screen, but you're also looking over at them and watching them just to experience it through their eyes. And it's just the best. It's so much fun. Every at bat was so important. It counted so much. Every every pitch and Harper drawing that walk and Bone getting hit by the pitch as he did, and just everything added up to just that ninth inning was phenomenal.
Yes, yes, sir. So do you have an unlikely hero for us?
So when you said that, I immediately went to the unassisted triple play by Mr. Eric Brundtland. And that was just that was a blast when you saw that go down.
Jody, I remembered Brundtland had a triple play. I don't remember the specific game.
Unassisted, yes.
Unassisted.
Which is a rare thing in baseball. The triple plays are rare things, but unassisted triple plays were rare, and that was the year of the World Series. Now, I texted you before and said I think it should be Eric Brundtland, but not because of the unassisted triple play. That was in season, which was huge. But then in the World Series itself, I believe it was game three, he comes in, defensive replacement, sure enough, got to come to bat, gets on base, advances second, advances to third. They walk the bases full, and Chooch hits that little dribbler down the third base line, and he comes flying home and beats the throw to score the winning run. That was my Eric Brundtland thought. Yeah. I agree with
That's
Eric
what
Brundtland.
I thought.
And he had a big play during the year, which was contributing to the entire run. But, yeah, I'll kind of lean toward a World Series major play rather than a regular season play. But if it's Eric Brundtland, I'm voting for Eric Brundtland.
As they say, right church, wrong pew. And, yeah, I remember that hit by Chooch. It was like a 45-foot game-winning RBI single. Just goes down in the box score as, like, game-winning hit.
Line drive. Could have been a laser off the bat on the box score the next day.
Oh, those were great days, man. Maybe we get some more of that. Coming up, we are looking forward to talking to our pal Seth Joyner about the Eagles and the Cardinals. Remember, Seth lives most of the time in Phoenix.